SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's time for another hour of your favorite sports gambling show.
What's this gonna be?
Moneyline.
Oh, are you kidding me? Humdiddly-dee!
With the two best hosts to ever do it.
I love my contract. Love my teammates.
Donnie Wrightside.
Do what the Sixers did, Charlotte. Just win seven games a year for 4 years. Eventually, you'll find somebody, and you'll be on the upswing again if it works out in your favor.
And Kevin Walsh.
Let me tell you how crazy talented the NBA is right now. I'm not even trying to get into a debate. He's not even the most talented offensive big man in the NBA right now, in my honest opinion.
Are you kidding?
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
It's time for the best hour of your day right here on the radio, the Sports Grid Network. It's Moneyline. It's Donnie and Kevin here. And welcome back, Kevin, making his, I guess, Sports Grid debut post Super Bowl 58. Mm-hmm. So he can have his chances to comment and have some fun. And we got an hour to do it here, K-Dub. How you feeling today? Feeling better? What do you got?
I'm definitely better. I'm not all the way back, but it's been too long, man. It's been long. Rumors swirling. Did I go into hiding after True. Kyle Shanahan again had a double-digit lead and could not close the door in the big game? Absolutely wild. Bright side. Tiger Woods, Donnie, did you get involved with that Tiger boost or what?
Give me that $50, pal, plus 100. Now, and Kevin's bringing this up, and let me fill the people in. Like, this morning, you know, surfing through, we're doing the early line, like, whoa. Like, you give me a minus 280 to a plus 100. I don't care if it's my mortal enemy. I'm taking it. And I was like, that seems like a great bet for Tiger Woods. Never did I realize that through six holes, he would have the three birdies and be minus one, because the good part about it was, like, hey, he's got to shoot three under. Like, no, you know he's going to be, you know, bad hole, good hole, bad hole, good hole. And that's all you needed here. It's for him to wrap up the three birdies before even the turn, that's fantastic. And when we just talk about Kevin being oddsman, money is money. That was one of the better odds boosts you're going to find.
It was so jarring. I don't know if you were on the odds boost last night. There were two other NBA boosts that were minus to plus. It was Wemby three blocks, Luka 25 plus, and it was Steph five threes and Paul George for 20 plus. And I was like, wait, are they just giving out money? I know better than that. I took the Tiger boost, left it alone. Both NBA boosts were winners last night. So
how about that?
FanDuel hot on the block with the boost right now.
Some are saying that an interview with the vice president of marketing changed all the tide there at the FanDuel Sportsbook from Super Bowl week, as we had a chance to interview him, and still waiting for that phone call back to see if we can actually get an odds boost at this point, which would be tremendous. Profit boost, would it spread the love, whatever. Just put something down there with the Sports Grid Network. But it looks like they went back to, you know what, let's give a little free money away and have some fun post-Super Bowl, because I needed it, because I didn't win any money on the Super Bowl. Thank you to the San Francisco 49ers who couldn't win that football game. If they did, it would have been a lot of fun. Now, as we open the show today, and we've done this quite a bit, Kevin, on the early line this week. Ben came back today, so we let him have his piece on the Super Bowl. I was, you know, hosting on Tuesday and Wednesday, so Tuesday it was me and Davis, so I get to say my piece about the Super Bowl. So now I figure it's appropriate time here on the radio to give a little look back at Super Bowl 58 from your perspective. Now, granted, we were out there all week. We worked Super Bowl Sunday here. Kevin was patient zero, and, you know, he toughed it out, and good for him, because I woke up today with a fever, as you could tell with my voice. So we're fighting and we're battling and we're punching through this year. So we've linked it all back, and, you know, maybe if Dr. Chow can call in if he's listening, he probably would agree that Kevin was patient zero. But we fought through, and that's what we do.
Sure,
but the Super Bowl, watching it play out, give me the thoughts and we'll expand on that.
So it's really, it's frustrating, and it's a reminder that all you can do is cap. You don't get to coach. You don't get to play. And a lot of what I said, Donnie, played out. The Niners were due for a hot start. It had been so long. They were not just better than the Chiefs in the first quarter of that game. They were dominant. They should have been up huge early in that football game. Now, they weren't up huge, but they got a double-digit lead. And I kept saying, give me the double-digit lead and we'll go from there. That's all I want, is if you give me the double-digit lead, we'll go from there. And the Niners, similar to Baltimore, they gave the Chiefs too many lives. Like, we can, Donnie, focus in on play calling, and it's understandable. The decision to go and take the football in overtime, there's all these things, right? But that Chiefs offense was dead to rights, not a bone in its body. And then a punt miraculously bounces off of Niner foot, and the next play, they've tied the game at 10 apiece. The game should have never got tied. So I think it's one of those things, again, where I know this is going to upset people. The Chiefs got in a bunch of countless lucky breaks, and now we have to pretend that the takeaway from that game is, oh, my God, you'll never beat Pat. I'm sorry. Like, Donnie, that's for talking heads. That's not my takeaway from that game. Pat has nothing to do with Dre Greenlaw suffering maybe the most stunning injury I've ever seen in my life. Just the level of luck that you have to be without to have that happen is unimaginable. So, again, Kansas City won. Good for them. Don't care. The Niners are better than them. The Niners would beat them over a seven-game series handedly, as would the Baltimore Ravens. But it's a one-game playoff, and the Niners, like Baltimore, wouldn't stop making mistakes. And Kansas City's too battle-tested to not capitalize on them.
And I thought one of the key ingredients in that game was, like, we were obviously cheering on our bets early, but we're sitting there and, you know, got the crew together. Obviously, Gabe, Joe, and Pharrell are in the studio. So that first drive by the 49ers, like, oh, my goodness. Like, we did this right. This is the way you're supposed to do it. McCaffrey fumbles, you know, going in. I'm like, this just shows up. Because I love the over 23.5. And to have two red zone fumbles that are recovered by the other teams, yeah, just basically killed that. And they still had a chance, when it all was all said and done, to actually get a total at that point. It didn't work out. But the drive in the second half to start, when the 49ers got the interception of Pat Mahomes, it was like, here we go. That's the mistake that Mahomes never makes, a terrible interception, and the 49ers did nothing with it, which, again, credit the defense for the Kansas City Chiefs, who bowed up and didn't have any points there. That was a massive, massive swing. And, of course, we've been talking about multiple times. The one thing this morning that it seems to be in agreement now, Kevin, most people were unsure of, like, how you're supposed to play overtime, because we never saw it play out this way. It's like, okay, both teams guaranteed a possession. What should you do? So Kyle Shanahan said, you know what? We're playing for that third possession. Touchdown, touchdown. We have the football. But I think that little glimmer of light now showed us exactly what you're supposed to do. And rule number one is you're not supposed to take the football. But let's just say it played out where, okay, the Niners kick off.
Yeah.
Chiefs go down for a touchdown. Great. 49ers go down for a touchdown. Chiefs never get that football back. Why? Because you go for the two-point conversion at the end of your touchdown drive. Because you're right. That third possession is key, where it's then sudden death and the other team has the football. They're never going to get that. So I think we finally found out we're going to have no more controversies in the playoffs. You're going to kick, and you're going to go for two after that second score if you both scored a touchdown.
100, and it's about, it's not only about knowing what you need, but, you know, you've heard people talk about it, like, they gave Mahomes four downs.
Yes, correct.
You know what I mean? Like, it's hard enough to stop the guy with three downs. And that's before worrying about getting to that third possession. And Kyle should have gone for it on that fourth and three, Donnie. But obviously,
absolutely
kicked the field.
Should have. We're going to talk about that next. Fighting through pain here today on the show. You hear it. We're here for you. We'll be right back. It's Mike.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here. It's a fun day on a Thursday. Post Super Bowl 58. K-Dubs back in the house here on Moneyline having some fun. The phone lines, people, as you know, are always open. 844-843-6879. 2522. We've been having some fun this week, by the way, on this show and also doing the early line, Kevin. Talking about, like, what's next and, like, what's next for next year. But before we get there, there's a lot of narratives that are going to play out in this football game, because the one thing that I said consistently through the playoffs – This is the weakest version of the Kansas City offense that we're going to get. AFC, you better step up now and take him out. Because they won a Super Bowl now, they're going to retool that offense. There are no guarantees in football. You can be injury ravaged. Kelsey could go down next year. You could have Mahomes limping around with a high ankle sprain for the year. A damaged offensive line. And they won't win the Super Bowl. The NFL is so hard to do it because the injuries are so high. But my goodness, there's a legitimate chance to go to three straight Super Bowls, which nobody's ever done.
Nobody's ever been to three consecutive?
No. Nope. Nobody's ever won three or even been to three.
I didn't realize that. Really? Wow.
Correct.
But see, here's my thing then. Usually, Donnie, with stuff like that, like, I would take my chances that they won't be back there, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, that history, it's hard to do, and it's hard to do for a reason, right, DRS?
Yeah.
And, like, I we're a ways away out, but I'm not going to be on Kansas City next year. I don't see it. Again, a lot of things had to break right for them this season. And, you know, a lot of people think that that's not how it played out. You go into the individual, you know, nature of these games. I mean, the Ravens completely forget their identity. Mm-hmm. People just completely overlooked the fact that Bass missed the field goal to tie the game in Buffalo.
Yes.
Like, there's just all these things. But, look, again, they won the Super Bowl, and good for them. Have those odds continued to stay the same when there's, like, a $3 of separation between them and the Niners for next year, Donnie?
It's plus 500 and plus 650. Those are the differences here. San Francisco is plus 500 and Kansas City 650. Now, on the NFL Network, which I have up now, they've been running the Super Bowl all week. Do you know what Super Bowl they're running right now? The first runaround with the San Francisco 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs. And you know what series just came up, Kevin? 59 seconds on the clock, three timeouts, 10-10 before the half. Let's take this to half, Kyle Shanahan. And it comes up again. It also just showed John Lynch in the box calling timeout, like, up top. Like, hey, let me watch this. Why are we not calling timeout? Only to find that Kyle Shanahan is running the clock out at the end of the first half. So let's talk about Kyle Shanahan and moving forward, because I think it's interesting with the 49ers themselves. Where do they find themselves in the future? Because the one thing we do know, that's still going to be a talented football team next year. Brock Purdy eventually is going to get a contract. You're still reaping the benefits of having a quarterback making under $1 million. They'll be back next year. Can they win it? We don't know. But my question to you is this. Big game. Like, and I think I want to preface it by saying, I entered this game knowing how good a coach Andy Reid was. Already a multiple-time Super Bowl champion, has coached in big games, and he had some work-throughs over the years to get through, but it seems to be through those. I don't think I put in enough time on, is Kyle Shanahan the man in the moment? And maybe there was something to, hey, Kyle, if you just called a running play against the New England Patriots on third down, you kick a field goal, you're Super Bowl champions in Atlanta. You have a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter in that first Super Bowl against the Kansas City Chiefs. You blew that one, too. And now you had a double-digit lead in the Super Bowl again, and you blew that too, and you had a 7-point lead at the half, and the football on the opposite side of the field, which means the Chiefs side of the field, with a touchdown lead, and you blew that as well.
Yeah, I think so that was something that was referenced, I felt, Donnie, heading into the game. And my beef with it, I guess, was you're telling me that the idea was, hey, look, man, my guy's going to get me a 10-point lead. I just know he can't hold it. And I know that's exactly how it played out. But the thing then, Donnie, is you can't bet. You don't take plus 2.5 live with KC. It's a complete waste of your money. Mm-hmm. You're getting 4.5 at the break, right? Like, you're not betting Kyle Shanahan games pregame then if you're just going to say, well, he's about to collapse any minute now. You know what I mean? You have to let him get his 10-point lead. And for me, I was like, look, odds are, Don, if he gets another double-digit lead in the Super Bowl, he's going to be able to hold on to it. He couldn't, right? I mean, that's the reality of it. He couldn't. But I'm going to live with that. I have no regrets. Like, I don't know. Like, I know that every single person that bet Kansas City is like, see? You just bet Mahomes. And it's like, look, again, good for you. But for me, it's one of those things where I took a coach and a team that I knew was getting a 10-point lead. They got it. If I was that concerned, I should have just bought out, right? I could have easily, you know, 2-1 on KC. But I trusted them to finish it, and they couldn't.
By the way, a couple big plays in that game, too. Obviously, coming down, we'll talk about these now. 2-minute warning, Kevin. 3rd and 4. Convert that,
Yeah.
Champions, Super Bowl champions for the 49ers. Great blitz by Steve Spagnuolo. I get it. Maybe an unprepared offense, which just let way too many guys get pressure on Brock Purdy. Then we fast forward into overtime, where you're driving. Take the football. You had a great drive going, by the way. All the way down inside that 10. And you say, all right, it's another third down play. A blitz comes off the end on third and four, and you end up kicking the field goal. Now, I don't really mind them kicking the field goal on fourth and four. All right, you know what? If we get a stop, we can win this football game. But everybody knew that a stop wasn't coming when Mahomes had four downs to get a first down and really only needed a field goal at that point. But the simple fact of the matter is I know how your brain thinks it's the same as mine. I got Christian McCaffrey. It's third and four. I hand the football off, Kevin. I lose 3 yards. I'm kicking the field goal. I hand that football off and get any yards positive, we're going for it on fourth down.
Couldn't agree more. I thought there were twice he had third and fourth situations, and he could have, ran for it with CMC just to see what it got him, and he opted not to do that, which I thought was a mistake. You know, look, again, I know it's like sour grapes. I mean, Donnie, you saw how far down the field one of those offensive linemen was on that touchdown pass that ended the game. Have you seen that screenshot going around?
No. Who was it? Allegretti? Who was running down there?
I think Donovan Smith's ass was basically in the end zone before Mahomes
threw
the football.
Yeah.
and here's the thing with that. People are like, so what do you think would have happened? Here's what would have happened. That's a 10-yard penalty.
Yes.
And next thing you know, they're settling for a field goal, and Kyle ends up looking like a genius because now he only needs three to go down the other way. And they would have got that three, by the way. So I just... Again, man, we can break the game down, but the takeaway of, wow, Mahomes does everything right is just so, it's so basic. It's nothing to me. I just can't. But again, all those people were rewarded with winning tickets. So, who am I guess?
Just pick Patrick Mahomes is basically what we found on. And again, next year to start the NFL season, we will see the Kansas City Chiefs once again at home on Thursday night. And then you get the Philadelphia Eagles versus we don't know yet on Friday afternoon from Brazil. And then you got a full Sunday slate and a Monday night slate. So week number one is going to be out of control. Game? Like what reason? What
you think they go division or you think they're going to go like high level game?
No. Let me see here. Hold on. So let me go Eagles schedule 2024. Exactly. Yeah. They don't know exactly when they're going to play, but we know that the Eagles, who they're going to play, we just don't know where. If I'm looking at this, and again, it would be technically an Eagles home game.
Home game.
Yes. So Green Bay, I don't think they'll run it up there like a Packers game. I don't think they'll do that. I got a feeling like the Atlanta Falcons, Kevin, are one of those games. I got a feeling it's the Atlanta Falcons at that point. Or the Carolina Panthers. I don't know if they're going banger back to back. Do they do that?
Ooh. So those are,
I know they want to. Because the reason I want to say that is going to be a monster game. And the reason I say that is you don't need the Eagles and the Steelers in Brazil, right?
No.
You can still showcase one of those other teams, and people will watch it just the same. And I think the NFL might realize that.
Now, but would you say Jaguars. They have to get, like, you can't do divisional, right? Because that would be so unfair to lose a division home game.
Correct. You're exactly. And here's when it first came out, too, right? We're in Las Vegas. Like, hey, this game. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And the reason I go to myself is, I'm an Eagles fan. This is the stupidest thing I ever heard. Like, we're losing a home game. It'd be like saying the NFL going, hey, Dallas, you know what's going to be awesome? Thanksgiving Day in London, your home game. They would never accept it because it's such an advantage for a home game in the NFL. The Eagles are getting shafted once again to be on the national stage. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, it happens. More football talk next. Don't go anywhere. It's Moneyline right here on a Thursday afternoon.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, yeah. Spinners Radio, baby, on a Thursday afternoon. post Super Bowl Sundays, we look forward to, how about tomorrow? No longer a Football Friday. It's All-Star Game weekend. I talked about this earlier too, Kevin, on the early line. When did it get, like, when did we get here where it's, all right, the NBA is going to stop on a Thursday and not reappear till the following Thursday? When I was a kid growing up, correct me if I'm wrong, and I guess, I don't know if you can correct me because you weren't there in the 80s and 90s to watch it. I have a feeling that they ended Thursday, had a nice Friday, Saturday, Sunday, got on that plane Monday, and started playing back on that Tuesday. Now it's turned into a full week, which, again, it's not that bad because we got college basketball and a lot of things to talk about. But Major League Baseball now does this, too. Yeah, let's take that full week where there's nothing going on here.
Yeah, it's tough, right? Like, hockey took theirs during football season, I guess. So this is like, oh, if hockey was ever going to step up, it would be now.
Yes.
Right? Like, it is funny that if you're the NBA, what makes more sense though, Donnie, attacking that first absent weekend with your All-Star game, or being like, there's no way we're about to bow out with like the NFL gone, officially gone, gone.
And from,
but I guess it gives everybody time to reset. I don't know.
Yeah. No, it does. It does. But the thing that we're talking about, also, the NFL with the Super Bowl, sooner or later, they're going to add in like an extra game or an extra bye week. Which I guess the NBA likes this, you know, President's Weekend to have it on. Super Bowl is going to pretty soon be on President's Weekend. So the NBA is going to have to switch, which will be nice. Because that'll force them back a week. Do you know what I mean? Where there's no NFL games the week before because it's the middle of the Super Bowl week. Which I think will fit perfect because, like, let's just say we're working the Super Bowl anyway. We're not even focused on the NBA. And then you just come back swinging on the NFL the following week when they're back.
But, like, does the NBA ever consider, like, see, I don't know if there's too much pride. I'll make a wrestling analogy, right? But when WrestleMania, Donnie, has its location, every independent wrestling promotion then will run shows in the same city.
In town?
In the league, right? Like, what if the NBA's All-Star game was this Saturday at T-Mobile Arena? Like, that wouldn't work, you don't think? Like, if too many people are there for football, or would it work? Because everyone's like, we might as well go to the NBA All-Star game. Like, it's a big part of the whole experience.
Well, I guess because the All-Star game's on a Sunday, so what would you do?
I know, but you reroute the schedule. Night? Yeah.
Just reroute or the make schedule. It like a week before or something like that. No, I mean, it can work to piggyback off because the excitement will be there and the players would love it. You kidding me? The players on All-Star break the same time the Super Bowl week is, they would all be at the football game. Partying, relaxing, not worried about going back to work. Yeah. Everyone would be at the game. And the NFL would like that too because that's more star-studded people to show that camera on. So it certainly could work, but it just seems like the NBA is like, hey, we've always had these days. And the NFL is like, hey, do you mind if we like do something on some of your biggest days here? Will you mind? And the NBA is like, come on, man. You're stealing Christmas from us. You know, you're going extended games, Saturdays and Sundays. It's kind of wild stuff when you think about it. But I do think it would work out there. By the way, when we were out in Vegas, freezing cold out there. Friday morning, I was telling the joke today to Ben. Like, Friday morning when you weren't there, we walked in 37-degree weather from, you know, the Excalibur all the way to the Mandalay Bay Convention Center. And he's like, no. I was like, yeah, midway through, like, Kevin gets an Uber and meets us over there. So it got a good pop in the room. But from a logistical standpoint, that was a great Super Bowl. It really was. There was a lot of walking between hotels. Now, if we just had the tram was open at 4 a.m. or whatever we needed, 3 a.m., that was a great system. Like, I would leave, like, for lunch, jump on the tram, go right back to the hotel. You're not worried about Ubers and taxis and nonsense and all that stuff. So I thought, like, it really handled itself well for a Super Bowl, and that's what Vegas is about.
Yeah, that aspect of it was good. I mean, you know, it was just overall, it was we had a lot going on, but it was a lot of fun. The tram wasn't too bad. The Uber in the morning was big, though. Uber that Friday morning was key part to my success, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, so I mean, going back and forth, but like, and it's wild. Like, now that, you know, Sports Grid is a prominent force at the Super Bowls, the fact that we just can't get Tampa or Miami, like, that should be like every other year is at least one Florida swing. That we go to New Orleans next year. Yes, which is 1 hour difference, which is going to feel like $1 million, but it's still an hour difference. Then you go right back to the West Coast for three straight years. How did Miami not at least swindle themselves into one every 3 years? It's in Miami. How did that happen?
And when you say we go back to the West Coast, right, it's yes. The Niners are getting one, right?
It's Santa Clara next year. Excuse me, New Orleans.
After New Orleans.
Then it goes back to Los Angeles. And then it goes back to L.A. Back to Vegas.
What? I also...
See? Wild.
That's so dumb. That's so dumb. It's not like the... First of all, people shouldn't even want it to go back to Vegas because... Vegas is a very expensive place. The tickets were completely out of control. So that's not positive in any direction, okay? We were just literally in L.A., so I don't know why we're running that back either. You want to do Santa Clara? I mean, that's fine. See, this is where, though, like,
I'm saying... Thanks, too. What are we doing to Santa Clara? I mean, come on.
Let's just go the other way. Let's just put this thing in New York, New Jersey, where it belongs, and let's... I mean, come on. Put in the Mecca.
Live from home, Dell. Yep. We just do it from home, though, the entire week, have fun, and maybe Radio Row will be for Beltworks. How about that? Big enough spaces downstairs
to possible.
Let it run and let it rip.
Where do you think, do you know, like, where Radio Row was?
I'm going to say it was at that big hotel, right? Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't obviously 13? Affiliated with that. I bet you it was at, the American Dream Mall? Had to have been, right? Where else would it have been?
Radio Hall?
Because it wouldn't have been in New York. It would have been in New Jersey. Like, to try to keep it.
You think Radio Row was in New Jersey?
Yeah, I think it was at that American Dream Mall. Because I remember back in Minnesota, again, I wasn't there. The Mall of America was the site for Radio Row.
Okay.
They extend there. It wasn't just like some random convention center, because those are giant, giant places there. But again, yeah, I feel like we're getting a little bit shafted because I would love to. Hey, look at this. I can actually go to bed at 10 o'clock at night and get 8 hours of sleep and be on set ready to go. That would be fantastic stuff, but we're never going to do that. Again, it's three straight years after New Orleans back out on the West Coast. It's going to be outrageous. Long flights, horrible hours, and we'll wind up right back in Homedale doing the Super Bowl, and then we'll all be sick again the next week. I got that feeling.
You think? Yeah, exactly. You think you're ever going to go to... Oh, look at this. UFL opening weekend. March 31st?
Nope. You got to wait. Is that when it is? There you go. Opening weekend. March. But yeah. Glad you just brought
that up. They'll never get this right. So they're just not going to get this right.
I have ESPN on. What geniuses go, you know what? Opening week of Major League Baseball season, let's pop on the UFL. You've got to be kidding me. Are they the dumb? I'm telling you, Kevin.
I
get on this diatribe so many times where I say it's a flat out Ponzi scheme. It's the only way I could think of. Billionaires investing money to lose tens of millions of dollars every year on this sport because they don't understand what works. I love that. So are you going to watch the UFL or your Los Angeles Dodgers, San Francisco Giants, New York Yankees games, Philadelphia Phillies games? That's a joke. And I love to say it, by the way. I do.
Yeah, I know that. That is perfect for you, but that is one of the most ridiculous things I thought the whole idea was, I know you guys are going to miss football. We're starting it right away.
Yes, the very next week. Give us dip into it. Give me a Saturday night opening night, which, again, I'm not going to watch it, but I appreciate people who like football. Like, hey, you know what? I'll give it a chance at that point. Let's wait and go into true off-season mode and then bad football on TV. It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
It's pretty bad. It is pretty bad. By the way, since I know we have the same thing on in front of us, I like that they just showed a Kyle Bradish update.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how many people, Donnie, are aware that Corbin Burns got traded to the Baltimore Orioles, you think?
Nobody knows. Nobody knows. Nobody knows anything about baseball. We have Craig Mitch on quite a bit with us, and even he's angry at Major League Baseball. Kevin, you have a Cy Young award-winning pitcher that has not signed with a team, and that's Blake Snell. He's out there.
Really? I didn't even know that.
Kevin, he's going to sign so late, he's not going to be able to pitch for the first 3 weeks of the season. He spent $300 million on the guy. If we try, again, I like to use other sports. Anthony Davis is a free agent and signs in late November in the NBA. Wait, what are we doing here? He should have been signed July 21st or whatever, the first day of free agency. You're talking about the best pitcher on the market he can't get signed, he's going to miss time.
Never.
And I always get back to the Bryce Harper signing, like, after, like, St. Patrick's Day. It's like, if you have signed him in December, like December 1st, you would have sold so many jerseys for Christmas. We're able to get the hype train out, change your season ticket logos.
What are we doing? You
know, exactly. I don't know what we're doing in Major League Baseball, but the best pitcher is still available out there, and we get no daily updates. We don't even know if people have offered him a contract at this point. Thanks, Scott Boris.
I was going to say, who's even like, because you hear that, and I'm like, wait a minute, like, do the Yankees want him? But, like, I don't know, probably not. No. Like, who's even interested in him? The Mets?
Yeah, like, okay, the Mets tanking. Our spending. Yes, the Mets are tanking, which I really appreciate. But I got to say, the Mets prospects here are very interesting to me. You had an owner come in that goes, you're telling me I can't buy a World Series? I'm going to buy every single great player in this league, and we're going to win. And somebody finally convinced him, like, hey, look, you know you can't do that. But by the way, you're in New York. If you don't spend any money, you will make triple the money that you're supposed to make. And now even Uncle Steve has bought in by saying, I could buy a World Series, but hey, guys, prospects, you know, like Cashman's been doing for like 10 years now, it feels like, in New York. Like, hey, guys, Steinbrenner's like, look, we're going to make way more money by not signing anybody or doing big things. We might not even have postseason success, but my bottom line is going to be so gigantic, and we will fool them every year by going, hey, look at Clint Frazier. I'm not going to buy an expensive free agent when I got Frazier out here who's going to do some damage. Unbelievable stuff, man. Major League Baseball, get out of town. We got a long way to go here in this hour, so make sure you keep it here. We'll take your phone calls if you want to call in. 844-843-6879. It's Kevin and Donnie right here in the afternoon.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And now, back to Moneyline with Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
Sunday Red, Kevin. Does that mean anything to you, by the way? Sunday Red? How about it?
The new company of a one Tiger Woods.
Well, that.
A little surprising, a little confusing, I would even potentially say, Donnie.
Yes. I mean, what? Why the word play? Sunday Red, perfect. One, two words, right? Perfect. Sunday Red. It's got to be. He didn't want to pay the fee because somebody actually.
What do you mean? It's three words?
It's three words, Kevin. Yeah. Just want to get me angry at Tiger. Tiger Woods won me money today. I'm trying to like let him off a little bit easy. But the guy comes out with Sunday Red as his new thing. What are we doing?
Okay, but I'm a little confused, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a clothing line?
Yes. It's basically Nike let him go, right? So now he's like, I'll get my own clothing line. That was it, 2-3 weeks ago, I guess? Maybe a little bit further than that.
And more importantly, why did Nike let him go? I feel like he's got to still do business for them, no?
Yeah, but if you're probably paying him, like, I don't know, $100 million contract. Like
legacy deal.
He's past his prime at this point. So you're not like, hey, Tiger's making a charge every week and wearing that gear that everybody's going to buy. Like, that golfing boom has already happened, so it's probably smart on Nike not to re-up. So he's like, all right, well, I'm still going to be able to make some money on this. Let me do my own thing. And instead, like, wouldn't it have been great if it was just called, I don't know, Tiger? Like, what are we doing? Jeez.
Yeah, I don't know. But, okay, I was like, why is he making his own clothing company? I would have sworn that Nike would have already kind of had this figured out.
I think he's partnered with, I think this one's like a partnership with TaylorMade, I want to say. So it's still a golfing company, but almost like the version of the Jordan brand, which is under the Nike umbrella. Something similar to that at that point. So see where it plays
out. I see what you're saying. All right,
there you go. But Tiger's out on the golf course, one under today. Playing some good golf, cashes in a ticket for the people out there. So now we root on Tiger to probably miss the cuts. We can laugh at him because he already made us money. I think that's the way it's supposed to go at this point. It's the way that I'm playing it out, you know?
Yeah. What's it called? Are you on the college board tonight or what?
You know what? I actually like an NBA prop tonight, K-Dub, by the way.
Really?
Now, I lost last night on the Warriors. I had the Warriors -3. I'm like, oh, this is a good spot. Kawhi's going to sit out. And I took it yesterday morning going, you know what? There's a good chance that maybe the Clippers even just throw that towel in and be like, you know what, let's just get that good rest in here before the break. Maybe like James Harden doesn't play or Paul George. Well, they did play. And you know the way I check that. I'm not staying up till 10 o'clock to watch the start of that game. I'm not staying up to watch the finish of it. Let me tell you how this played out, Kevin. I woke up in the morning like, oh, you know what? How did my best bet go yesterday? Walk down, dogs are fired up, ready to go. Take them out back, and I pick up my phone. I go to the Golden State Warriors Twitter account. Scroll all the way back without looking. So I wind up maybe around, I don't know, midway through the first quarter. I swear to God, Kevin, all I kept seeing was three ball, three ball, three ball, three ball, three ball, three ball, three ball. And I'm going, oh my God. Like, this might be one of the easiest wins I've ever had. And as I kept going through, halftime, they got the lead. Third quarter, they got the lead. Three ball, three ball, three ball. Podziemski, three ball, three ball, three ball. But I'm seeing now the score in the bottom right-hand corner on the highlights. I'm like, every time I see a three ball, they're losing by more and more. The fact they lost that game. Again, maybe I have to go to the other team's site and not the home team that's going to try to hype it up. Because if you would have told me, Steph drops nine triples, that's all I see? Oh, my God, Kevin. 141-121. What an easy win by Golden State. And they lost outright.
Yeah, they blew a gigantic lead.
They were up 11 at the end of the third. I don't even know what they were up in the fourth quarter, but I know it was the least double digits.
Yeah, I don't know if they extended it, but I knew that same number. But the Steph thing, Donnie, I mean, Steph has now hit, I don't know if you saw this, seven or more threes in four straight games.
Yes.
I mean, so we're now back to this guy's three-point prop, 5.5. Him to make six is plus 100.
And I took it.
Seven.
It was 115 this morning, by the way.
So really?
The juice is getting lower. That was my bet this morning because you know my theory on that. You shoot like 19 threes a game. You're one game away from the All-Star break. You don't think his night, if he plays tonight, which he is going to play probably, as we're expecting the starting lineup. You know what, Kev? I'll shoot three threes tonight. Maybe four. No big deal. Like, he might fire 23-point shots tonight. Like, I love that play. But then again, you're right going like, no, hold on. The guy's splashing like nine a night the past like four games. Why is it 5.5? I understand that. It's hard to make 6 3-point shots. But I had to take a flyer on it.
No, I mean, look, it's a small sample size, but he's averaging 6.9 makes per game in the month of February. He also, now, this is what gets interesting, though, Donnie, right? Because we know guys love history. So I'm sure he's aware he's the first player to ever do this in four straight. So you think that was like, look, let me just see how many games in a row I can do it. Like, you know what I mean? Because if he starts hunting this thing, like, one of the things, I actually feel like Steph doesn't shoot enough threes, despite, like, shooting the most threes per game. Like, if you're as good as he is at shooting threes, in this NBA, right? Like, Donnie, take the green light and fire away 20 of them. Why not? Yeah, and that's what you're getting this month, basically.
I think that's what you might get tonight. Now, looking forward here, it's the All-Star game this weekend. And thank goodness cooler heads prevailed. We got East versus West again. Thank you, Jesus. That's the way it's supposed to be. Not pick your teams boring as hell. And they also, Adam Silver, if you agree with me, Kevin, got rid of the stupid Elam ending. Don't you agree with that? Great news, no Elam ending? How do you like that?
No, the Elam ending fixed the something that you complained about. It forced guys to play. See, I understand you complained about the East-West thing.
Yes.
Well, I don't understand why you didn't like the Elam ending. I don't understand that at all.
Yeah. Whether it was Elam ending or not, I just like to get angry because I like when like Adam Silver's like, look, we're just getting back to playing basketball. I'm like, you know what? That's exactly right, knowing that it doesn't make a difference with me watching the game or not, so I sort of get a kick out of that. I don't really care what the ending in the All-Star game actually is going to be. But moving forward in that, I like the West this weekend, Kevin, -3. I also yesterday took a little bit of piece of the under 363. It's down to 361 now. But do you know who my MVP of the All-Star game is going to be? Who do you think it's going to be?
Well, if I know you, it's going to be somebody on the Eastern Conference.
No, yeah, I know. I know you would go there, but it's not. It's not.
I mean, that's the only way I could look.
Yeah, the East is going to lose by 20, but, like, you know, Giannis is going to be MVP, which, no, it's not going to happen. Who would my MVP be this year?
Oh, is it SGA, your boy?
It's not SGA. It's probably pretty easy. Superstar, it's an All-Star game. Steph, I took Steph. Do you want to know why I took Steph?
You think he just keeps shooting him?
Yes, yes. Like, I think he was plus 850. And I just have that feeling like, first of all, nobody really defends. And it's one of those games where it's like, Steph just went 4-4 from the three-point line, and the team goes, see what you can do in this game. Like, see if you can hit 23-point shots. Like, something just stupid to be able to make it. Like, I like Steph Curry in this game, which, again, feeds into tonight's three-point shots, feeds into him versus Sabrina Ionescu this weekend, which feeds into him playing in the All-Star game. I like Steph Curry all the way around this weekend. I do.
So the one thing is with the older guys is some of them have gotten to the point of like, I'm good. You know what I mean? Like last year, and I'm pulling up this box score now. Let me find it. Mm-hmm. LeBron played 14 minutes. Steph was injured, so he couldn't play in the game. Let's see, was Durant healthy? Of course he wasn't. He's literally last year at the All-Star game.
Yeah.
My only point is, last year LeBron played his like a ceremonial amount of minutes. I don't think he played in the second half.
Yeah.
Like, I just wonder, like that starting lineup is going to have LeBron, Steph, and Durant in it, right? Like, does that trio of guys, Donnie, go, you know what, man, let's just abuse them all and do our thing here? Or is it like, yeah, I don't really care. SGA and D-Book and Ant Edwards can do whatever they want.
I think there's, you know why there's credence to that from my end? I mean, who puts the All-Star game in Indianapolis? I mean, what are we doing? Like, do the players
even
want to
go? Is
that
where it is?
Is it one of those, is there one of those that where the players like, you know what, I don't even want to go? Again, I always get back to, like, the showmanship, which I love Vegas. But if you're going to tell me Las Vegas is going to get the Super Bowl and it's 50 degrees every year, stop the madness. Give me some sun. Give me some heat. Give me some relaxation. The fact that they're going to Indy this way, what is it going to be, 30 degrees? What are we doing, man? It's supposed to be a party atmosphere. Put the damn thing in Miami every year.
So this guy Halliburton is going to have the record for most assists. Dog doesn't like that. Halliburton is going to end up having the record of the most assists in an All-Star game. What's the record? Because that's what he'll do. With being at home, too. Like, is anyone going to care about that, or is it just who scores 50?
No, I don't think. Put it this way: if somebody has like 16 assists, I don't even think they even like gets brought up.
They just like get you know what I mean? The building.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That means Giannis probably went for 38, 32 rebounds and like 8 blocks or something like that. Like, oh, come on, man!
Wow, assists, it's actually higher than you would have thought.
What is it?
22.
What's 22?
That's the record of assists in an All-Star game. I didn't expect
Magic.
That.
Who got it?
It was Magic. Yeah.
Yeah, feels like it
was Magic. It was an overtime, though. Does it count?
Oh, my God. First of all, I mean, what were they playing? Like, full games back then for the starters? Like, you know what I mean? It's like, hey, you know what? Starting line.
I mean, yeah, overtime,
like
right?
Golly.
I mean, enough's enough.
Jesus.
How about, I mean, yeah, but Donnie, you know the thing is, you know that Steph thing. It was 2022. He took 27 threes.
Yes.
And made 16 of them.
Yes.
Like, is he just going to do that again?
Yes. I do, because we like a show with the All-Star game. And again, you feed the hot hand. If it's like a parent, like at the end of the first quarter, by the way, Giannis has 21 points. What do they start doing? Like, he can set the all-time record in an All-Star game. Let's get him off to a hot start in the second just to see if he can get there. Same way about Steph. Steph opens up 3-for-3 from the three-point line in the first quarter. They're just going to keep giving him the basketball. And that's why I like it here. It's hard to predict who the MVP is going to be. You try to just play a narrative out.
I need to find out if LeBron cares that this is his first time on the Western Conference All-Stars.
Mm.
If he cares, I'm going to have to bet him. He'll go for a triple-double or something. He'll be right in the mix. They'll win the game. How? Like the thing is, funny, and I know you mentioned you're on the West in the game.
Yes.
Like there is a big gap in the starting lineups for the two sides.
And bench,
like a
too.
Huge gap.
Yes. Like, that's like usually I say to myself, an All-Star game, it's a coin flip. Just take the points and let it go. And I was like, all right, let me look at the lineups. I'm like, yeah, I'm not doing that this year. I'm taking the West. Like, the West just starting lineups to bench is just deep as all get out and can get after it. Now, granted, that doesn't always mean you're going to win an All-Star game. Some, you know, players and teams take it a little bit more serious. But yeah, no, it's the West for me.
Can you tell me why Luka is so far down the board? Like, what is it that I'm not understanding?
Is it that he's like, you know what, I'm going to, let me just make an appearance, wave to the crowd, and go back to the bench? Is that what he's doing for the All-Star game?
That's what, like, Luka made it clear he doesn't care? Because, Donnie, like, you talk about microwave scores. The guy scored 70 this year. Like, what are we doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. No, I think you're right about that. I think Luka might be one of those. Let me get 6 or 7 minutes at this point here and just see what happens. By the way, quick topics here because we don't have too much long. When we talk about reading lines, and it doesn't always work, there were two stone-cold lines in college basketball last night that most people picked up on. Number one was Auburn, winner by 40. You tell a random gambler, hey, by the way, South Carolina leading the SEC, going on the road, but getting 11 points, 11 and a half. Yeah, sign me up for that. They got waxed. And then you saw a team that didn't have a win on the season sitting out there like, hey, you know what? We're minus 5.5 tonight. Oh, just give me that 5.5 points. Two easy victories yesterday, which is always fun to let it play out. And by the way, we had John Rothstein on this morning. Look, it's February 15th, Kevin. 2 weeks, we're in March. The end of the first week in March, we have conference tournament games starting up in the lower mid-majors. It's Selection Sunday is coming up fast. So is Daylight Saving. My goodness. It's a good time to be right here on the Sports Grid Network. We'll be back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
One last segment here on a Thursday afternoon. We made it through. We had some fun, and I hope you did as well. Big college basketball card tonight. Didn't really get a true look at the card. Do you like anything? Because there's not really any two big battles tonight. Maybe Minnesota Purdue, but that's a 16.5 point line. So I'm thinking look at maybe a top 10 battle.
Yeah, I have a few props, but sides wise, it might be a little too many points. Donnie Gonzaga's laying at Loyola. I know they smashed that team 2 weeks ago, but that line at home was 14.5. Now they go to Loyola, lay 15.5, so I think that that's too many. And I don't know how you feel these two teams match up, but basically, Colorado cannot cover against a single team with a good defense, and they're playing UCLA tonight, so I took the Bruins at home, who have been playing good ball.
By the way, just taking a look at that Gonzaga Loyola Marymount game, just taking a quick glance on that. I'll tell you what's interesting about that. As we know, always, Gonzaga's got a great offense. Effective field goal percentage, number one. Don't turn the basketball over. That's great. But how about this? Inside the two-point line, percentage-wise, Gonzaga, number one in conference play. 62% they shoot in there. But here's the interesting part. Gonzaga is number one in the conference at point distribution from two-point range. And Loyola Marymount gives up more points than anybody in conference play inside the three-point arc. So it's one of those where you line that up and say to yourself, they might just feast down low. Now, again, it's a lot of points. You're on the road. It doesn't always work that way. But if I'm just looking at one instance that might get them in a little bit of trouble, it's almost the perfect matchup for Gonzaga down low. High percentage shooting. The other team gives it up, and they're willing to take it. That's the look at that game real quick.
It'll be interesting. By the way, a lot of people still have Gonzaga outside of the field, despite that win at Kentucky. I wonder if they win at St. Mary's, if that would be enough. Otherwise, Gonzaga is going to go into the WCC tournament needing to win it outright to make the dance, which is pretty incredible.
By the way, any thoughts on Caitlin Clark tonight real quick? Record breaker, needs 8 points. Which way does it come, Kevin? Three-point shot?
One.
Layup?
No, free throw?
Here's where?
Make the odds boost. Caitlin Clark to score 8-plus points tonight.
Who had that before? It was Steph, right? Steph had that boost, which we nailed and had some fun a couple years ago making that throw. We're out of here for the day. It's JP, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Walsh. Tomorrow, we'll be back on a Friday for Moneyline.
Yeah.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.